Chapter 7, Removing Barriers to Communication. Now we've got to understand that when we communicate, there will be some or the other effective aspects which we need to communicate. But the barriers ideally will be a hindrance. Now why do we have barriers as far as communication is concerned? A lot to do probably with our own mindset and attitude. A lot to do with the environment and a lot to do with the functioning of an organization. So various levels or communication networks, we will discuss various aspects of barriers to communication. We first ideally discuss why or what will be the reasons for barriers and what kind of barriers rather are we facing. So different factors, both physical and psychological. Psychological, what's in my mind? Probably if I feel that somewhere I am being stopped from communicating my ideas effectively because my ideas are far too beneficial. That would probably be a hindrance or an obstacle for my colleague. So my ideas may not be conveyed effectively. Physical and psychological that obstruct free and complete flow of communication among individuals. How can you ensure your communication is clear and complete? How can you do that, right? Office environment impact on communication, very important. What are the steps needed to ensure that organizational communication is clear and complete? Channels of communication. Feedback is an ineffective instrument to detect and improve flaws in communication. Feedback is an effective instrument to detect and improve flaws in communication. Characteristics of cross-cultural communication. We will take each of these aspects. We've understood how free flow of communication, how free flow of meaningful communication enhances our personal as well as organizational well-being. Constant efforts are called for to ensure that the flow of communication is not interrupted and messages transferred are not misunderstood by the receiver on any occasion. Now, first, when I say free flow of communication, when they say it enhances our personal and organizational well-being, it means that I'm given that benefit and leverage to communicate my ideas and views as and when I want. It also means that what is the focus on when we talk of organizational well-being? I feel a sense of belongingness in my organization. I feel that whenever I have any effective idea to communicate, I definitely wish to put it forward. Of course, the way I put it forward, how convincing I am, how effective have I been to put my ideas forward, that means is it going to be beneficial to the organization in the long run? Is it going to be worth implementing this idea and letting go the current idea? So not retaining the current idea or ideas. So constantly being innovative, coming up with effective ways and means to get work done, communicating as and when required with minimum words and maximum clarity. Unfortunately, there are several factors present in our day-to-day life that create barriers to communication. It is therefore prudent for you first to understand the nature of such barriers, explore ways and means to successfully overcome them. This way, you get ready to traverse a route that avoids communication barriers, and by chance, if you do hit any, you already know how to overcome it. So, ways and means to overcome communication ineffective. In an ineffective manner. First, let us consider, when we talk of barriers to individual communication, first, let us consider the barriers that exist when one is engaged in one-to-one conversation. Perceptual and language differences. What do we mean by perception? Generally, how each individual interprets the world around him. All generally want to receive messages which are significant to them. But any message which is against their values is not accepted. Same event may be taken differently by different individuals. For example, a person is absent for a month due to personal reasons, family member being critical, or say you have a terminally ill patient at home, the HR manager might be in confusion whether to retain that employee or not. The immediate supervisors might think of replacement because his team's productivity is being hampered. The family members want to offer him required emotional support. We had this situation in one of the organizations that Mr. A was working there since 3 years. He constantly achieved his targets since the last 3 years. Since the last 3 months, they realized that he's no longer motivated at work. They realized that he's not achieved his targets since 3 months, which has never been the case in these 3 years. On having a one-to-one interaction and discussion with him, they realized that he was going through considerable stress due to his personal marital problems, considerable stress since there was a terminally ill patient at home, considerable stress because his sister too was going through marital problems. So it seemed that his life suddenly was focused on personal issues than professional aspects. Now in this kind of a situation, very often even when his immediate boss, who was very supportive of him all throughout, even if he would send him a message in these 3 months, he realized that Mr. A was not responding, which was not the case before. Now, as we are saying that we generally want to receive messages which are significant to us, maybe for A, since he was going through these kind of personal issues, nothing seemed as significant to him as his personal issues. So the mindset at that juncture and at that time was only the ability to cope, but at the same time, when you're coping with personal issues, he was neglecting his professional life. Now, in this kind of a situation, it is very important that this is a barrier. Why? Why don't I break free in this sense? Why don't I keep my personal issues aside? Of course, they're extremely important, but keep it aside so that at least I can speak to my immediate boss who's been very supportive. Why does my mind not let me think that if I don't focus on this now, I will soon be without a job? That means anyways I'm coping with personal issues and the next issue will be the job. So the idea is that we perceive the world the way we want to perceive it. That means our ideas, views, thought process, we want to base it as per our situations. Then of course it can become a barrier. The linguistic difference when we talk of language can lead to communication breakdown. Same word may mean different to different individuals. In this case, they're having the word value. What is the value of your laptop? Do you value our relation? And what is the value of learning technical skills? Value has different meaning in these sentences. Communication breakdown occurs if there is wrong perception of the word value by the receiver. We can take it at two levels, right? When we spell a word like bail, B-A-I-L, and B-A-L-E, both are pronounced in the same manner, bail. But one means that you've got bail, that means you've got bail from prison, and the other means a bale of cotton. B-A-I-L is bail from prison. B-A-L-E, bail of cotton. Now, we need to understand that linguistic differences, that means if I'm sending in written communication and instead of B-A-L-E, bale of cotton, I write B-A-I-L, the whole meaning can change. Same can go for the word value, which we've discussed out here. In this case, the word value can have different meanings. So one word can have various meanings, though it is spelt in the same way, it can be applied to various sentences which can have various meanings. Now, this can also lead to miscommunication or misunderstanding, depending on how effective the opposite person is with communication. Now in this case, value of laptop, that means we talk of the amount. When we talk of do you value our relation, it means that do you respect and have that value for it. So various ways in terms of explaining one word. In case of laptop, value means the price at which the laptop can be bought. In case of relation, it denotes the importance, sincerity, depth with which a person is behaving. That means do you respect this relation, right? That's why we're talking the word like importance, sincerity, integrity, depth. And when you turn to technical skills, the word value means the benefits that can accrue to an individual who acquires those skills. Like a technical person explaining to a non-technical audience, the technical person has all the knowledge as far as that subject is concerned. The non-technical audience has ideally no knowledge. So he's explaining to the audience. Information overload. Say you want to purchase an iPhone. So you go to Chroma, you go to Vichair Sales, you look up information over the website. So by the end of it, you have too much information. So this ideally can lead to confusion. Instead of resolving your problem, you could get more confused. Managers are surrounded with a pool of information. It is essential to control this information flow, else the information is likely to be misinterpreted or forgotten or overlooked. Misinterpreted, when too much information, I can get confused. Or too much information, so I said let it be as of now, so I overlook it and then I forget it. At any given time, a person can hold only a certain quantum of data in his brain. Means our brain has that capacity to absorb. But to hold it at that juncture, of course, it is going to be different for different people. If you shower n number of statements on the listener, there is certainty that some of them will not be correctly interpreted and hence understood by the listener in the way you intended. Right? So, I request you to submit the project by tomorrow. Now, as a listener, the listener will feel she's yet polite, she's requested. So, how do I make it sound like, look, the request is just for the sake of requesting, you'd better get it done. So, I request that this has to be done by tomorrow. So, the tone. So, when we talk of the listener in this case, of course, the words do matter, but words along with tone can make it simpler. Like when you're feeding a baby, the information has to be passed on in little pieces with patience, right? You're feeding a baby, you're talking to the child. The child may not really even understand what you're saying, but you go slow. So how are you putting it forward in terms of information? Say you are the director of an organization. You've been there since the last 40 years. There is suddenly a person who's joined in and he's a fresher. Yes, academically, he may have done his MBA. But in terms of work experience, it's only 1 year work experience. So when you are interacting with him, ideally, you're so used to letting information go freely. You're so used to giving instructions which need to be followed accurately. But in this case, you realize that this person has just worked for a year, has all the academic qualification, but what about work experience? Not much. So, do I give information gradually so that he or she understands? Do I develop the patience or do I go fast, assuming that he is expected to pick up? Now, if you give too much information in this case, it may be information overload for him since he or she is a fresher. Inattention. At the end of the day, Jay submitted the report, but the budget for the operations team was missing in the report. Jay actually had heard about the sales and marketing department and thus skipped the report of the operations team. Preeti fired Jay and even stopped his appraisal. Unwanted distractions, noise, chit-chat of the other employees, etc. played the culprit and Jay missed out on his promotion. Noise reduces the chances of correct flow of information from the sender to the receiver. If the surroundings are noisy, errors are bound to happen and thus increasing conflicts among the team members and decreasing the efficiency of the employees. Inattention, a lot to do with you as an individual, how focused you are. Do you wish to be focused? We need to understand that we need to prioritize. That's what is most important. Are you prioritizing your work? Are you giving 100% to your work? Rumors, grapevine, that is gossip. In any organization, this happens. We need to understand that, am I yet being focused? Now, how could have, in this case, Jay, forgotten or skipped something so important? Maybe being inattentive. These are things which you cannot overlook. These are things which need to be focused on. So, in this case, when we talk of maybe noise out here, look, noise has various, again, like the word value, noise has a lot of aspects too. When I say noise, it could be the inner noise here, right? A lot of people are constantly having that state of conflict, constantly worried, boggled with a lot of aspects, from personal to professional, to meeting targets, deadlines, not living up to the expectations of the boss. So that noise, that means the inner conflict, right? And the noise in the background, external. So, a lot to do with, say, movement of cars, or suddenly there's a festival and there's loud music outside. So, that can be noise too. Emotions, very important. Emotional state at a particular point of time affects communication for sure. If you are emotionally shattered due to the death of a loved one, if you are emotionally shattered because you've lost a job since the last 9 months and you've gone for an interview, it will affect your communication skills. If the receiver feels that the communicator is angry, he interprets that the information sent is very bad. Not necessary, but can be possible. While he takes it differently if the communicator is happy and jovial. That means the message is interpreted to be good and interesting. Many a times a person is under tension, is worried, and therefore unable to concentrate on what is being communicated. It is a fact. See, we're getting these lectures right now, recording is going on, right? Now, if suddenly my mind goes off track, then of course, it will definitely hamper the communication skills or the level of communication, because you are not then 100% focused. So you need to know that it will somewhere bring a shift in the way you communicate. In such emotional situations, a message can neither be received fully nor correctly. When you are emotional or stressed or worried, you're not giving 100% to what is expected out of you. And that can lead to ineffective communication that ideally displays a different side of you. Because if you have lost out on a job due to recession, and since 9 months you're looking for a job, and finally you go for an interview, somewhere your tone or what you speak will be evident from how you have coped up all these 9 months. Or you as a director realize that there's a dip in the sales since the last 3 months and it's Diwali time. So again, how do you deal with that kind of stress? Do you realize that you want to bounce back and you're not going to mull over it, you're not going to get emotional about it, you're going to figure out as to what can be done. Then your level of communication, your ability to communicate, your zest and enthusiasm will stay the same. Poor retention. Human memory cannot function beyond a limit. One cannot always retain what is being said or told, especially if one is not interested or not attentive. This could be a situation at the end of a session or workday. That is why very important meetings, discussions are held maybe in the morning or before lunch, because you want to finish discussing these aspects prior to lunch. Because as the day goes ahead, you might probably feel that these important aspects are best discuss in the morning when one is a bit fresh in the mind and one is more focused as compared to afternoon. More focused, as we are seeing. And this is the reason why effective speakers prioritize the message and start with material points first, and then human memory is fresh and alert. Many organizations start a workday with morning meetings when individuals are fresh and the minds are not preoccupied. Well, it's not mandatory that in the morning your mind is not preoccupied, but chances are that you hopefully look forward to coming to work and you will be focused. Any communication pass at this juncture has maximum chances of being retained by the listeners all throughout the day. Now, gender differences in language use. Physical orientation, avoid. It's very clear these are gender differences, and I guess maybe these kind of differences do take place. It can't be like 100% that this is the way it is, but these kind of differences do take place. So avoid eye contact, use eye contact. Talk for status, talk for solidarity. Like it is said that women prefer being praised on a one-to-one basis. It is said that men prefer being praised in front of all. So in terms of status, in terms of a promotion, in terms of your work, you want that applaud. Now, not necessarily this is correct, or not necessarily that this is the way it has to be, but it has been observed very often. Though we won't say that this is not applicable for women, that means women also would like to be praised in front of one and all. Say if you've got a promotion, say if you've achieved the target, you definitely will feel respected and appreciated if it is mentioned in front of one and all. From decision to discussion, and from discussion to decision, they feel we first need to discuss and then take a call. Talkative in public, quiet in private, and the opposite for women, right? Quiet in public, talkative in private. Fight for fun, may fight, but not for fun. Depends. I mean, I'm really no one to say why this or why that. I guess going by the general view of what is said. Trouble talk avoided would put status at risk. Very, very important. Trouble talk used to create rapport. That kind of trouble talk would probably mean that they feel, okay, you know what, we shared this with each other, we spoke about this, and we share a bonding, you know, and we discuss why is this happening in our organization, we have a good rapport. So somewhere it may backfire, whereas here they're playing safe. They know that the status could be at a risk. For example, in one of the organizations, there was rumor or gossip, grapevine. This was in relation to a person at top management. And of course, the person at top management was really upset because these things which were, you know, put forward about him in the organization was maligning his character. When I say maligning his character, more about his image. It was like his image was probably getting tarnished. So there had to be some way to ideally discuss this and figure out. So probably there was a feedback form sent, and feedback related to a lot of aspects, and one of the aspects was this, since this was regarding him. And a lot of people replied, you know, when there was a question based on this. A lot of people replied, and they figured out that it was one person who was responsible to create this kind of an atmosphere whereby you are spoiling the image of a person at that level. Of course, then he was fired. But we need to know and understand that it is extremely important that in an organization, you are professional. You are not concerned with what happens with the others in terms of the personal life. You're not really concerned in rumor and gossip. And you need to be highly attentive and focused and see opportunities for further growth. Complexity in organizational structure. Communication networks, the organization structure. Now, when we talk of organization structure, what is most important? Free flow of communication. When we talk of organization structure, superior subordinate relationship. When we talk of organization structure, what are the various aspects? Greater the hierarchy in an organization, more the number of managerial levels, more is the chance of communication getting destroyed. Too many people, too much discussion, too much participation, that can hamper the communication. Only the people at top level can see the overall picture, while the people at lower level have knowledge about their own area and little knowledge about other areas. Because you're at that level, you ideally are just focused on your work. People at the top management, they take a bird's eye view. They know what's happening. They're probably interacting with the immediate subordinates, or if there's free flow of communication where one and all can discuss. So ideally, when you talk of organizational structure, organizational communication, it definitely is an important aspect for any organization. It can lead to confusion even if there are few people, and it can lead to confusion even if there are many. Because the idea out here is that how effectively is one communicating with the other? That's what needs to be looked into. In many organizations, these managerial levels are not formally established. And if established, they're not defined with a degree of clarity. So take, for example, in your organization, there are two people at top management whom you have to report to. This can create confusion. Because those two, if they have not discussed, say, one aspect with each other, their final decision may be contrary. So who ideally is going through an issue or problem? The subordinate, whether he should listen to A or to B. Both are at the same level. How does he deal with this? So that's what they are saying. As a result, some members receive same information repeatedly, while others are dark about it. So assume A and A1, both at the same level. A gives information which is contrary to A1, or A gives information and B gives no information. Sorry, A gives information and A1 gives no information. So in that case, what happens? B is confused that A1 has not given any instructions. So as a result, some members receive information repeatedly while others are dark about it, even though it relates to their day-to-day activities and responsibilities. So ideally, take your own case. If you are in place of B, you communicate with A and A1 every day. A1 has not given you instructions on a particular topic, whereas A has told you to go ahead. Would you feel the need to communicate this to A1? Do you feel you should speak to A1 about this, or do you assume they both have interacted with each other? We suggest, since you're a subordinate, you just focus on your work and go ahead with it. You can make the assumption that A has spoken to A1. And if ever asked, you can always say that I was given instructions, so I followed those instructions. Unless you're expected to approach A1 and ask. Distraction or noise? Communication is affected by a lot of noise and distractions. Physical distractions are such as poor lighting, uncomfortable sitting, unhygienic room, also affects communication in a meeting. Yes, if you're seated in a room, if there's a lot of dirt, or if you're seated in a room where probably it's, you know, lights are very dim, it's not well ventilated, or the AC or fans are not working, so it can become an issue. When such distractions are present, employees have to raise their voices to get heard. This results in overall high noise levels and inability of listeners to receive messages completely and clearly. Now, what is the noise here? That all of them are talking together. Probably there's a table. There are 20 people there. If they want to communicate to each other, they have to talk really loud. So ideally, this can be a distraction. Now, distraction and noise we talk of. Many offices are overcrowded and do not reserve any space for visitors' room away from the main office where the staff is working. This means that whenever anybody else comes there is no space per se for any visitor. This ideally can be a distraction for the staff. This ideally can make the staff feel that there's shortage of space, and ideally visitors going in and out can create a disturbance for the staff. In absence of such separate rooms for them, visitors move in and out of the office to realize their task, and in the process too, it causes disturbance. So there's constant movement. So ideally, what happens? You want to complete your task, you're a visitor, you come here to the office, but you're going in and you're moving out and coming back is creating a disturbance. Noise acts as a devil in business communication. Any information downloaded at a noisy place is bound to get distorted and result in complete mess. Not any, but very often it can create a mess. Media use for communication. Many organizations use notice and bulletin boards to disseminate information that affects all employees working together in a group. When you talk of information on a bulletin board, it is related to one specific information, which is probably meant to be read by one and all. These need to be placed at easy, visible and approachable locations. So ideally, what can be done is that each employee has access to them. When I say each employee has access to them, what is the focus on? That everybody gets a chance to read what they are seeing. It is not uncommon to come across these notices that are poorly drafted and run into many pages. Words selected are complex. In such situations, readers fail to read the documents fully, and the purpose behind the bulletins is thus lost. A bulletin has to be drafted with minimum words. A bulletin has a specific message. A bulletin ideally should look neat and well laid out and spaced out. That's what a bulletin ideally should be. The intranet. Now, media use for communication. What is intranet? Communication within an organization but via internet. Take for example the 20 of you working in a team. Your manager has ideally sent each one of you all a form which needs to be filled in. So it's via a common link to 20 of you all via internet that you'll manage filling the form and the details. Intranet is the most modern way of having all members of an organization to communicate with each other with speed and ease, and thus exchange information throughout the company all over the world. This ideally is a fast way of communicating with each other. However, use of electronic communication within the organization requires careful planning and staff training. Yes, each one should be knowing how to probably go onto that link, what is it, if at all, if 20 of them should have that password to go to that link. So those aspects, some people need to be trained as to how you can go on to that. An overload of information stemming from the tendency to send copies to everyone in the anxiety to keep others informed must be avoided. It is understood that very often you need to send information to 5 people but you send it to 10. So it is understood that you're sending it because you feel no, it's better I send it to 10. Now, what is the purpose of sending it to 10 people when you know only 5 people need access to that information? Why are you creating that kind of anxiety for yourself and for others? Emails are not to be simply sent to all. Internal communication policy therefore has to be drafted and subsequently implemented to prevent such spread of needless communication. Who needs to be sent what information? Who needs to be sent the email, who doesn't need to have this information, all of that should be clear on your mind so that you know as far as internal policies of our company is concerned, these are the people who should have access to this information and these are the people who should not have access to this information.